First of all, I think it might be interesting, just as kind of a transition here, to mention that there's really a lot of similarity between the topics we just had and what I'm going into. My topic is right priorities. And when you think about it, David lost. David set aside some of his priorities, didn't he? When he got into the trouble he got into. For example, if you compare 1 Samuel 17, where David was the giant killer, okay, and this is the topic of the lessons were the giant killer's fall, and where David was the giant killer in 1 Samuel 17, you compare that with 2 Samuel 11, where he fell. There's interesting contrast. David's priority in 1 Samuel 17 was to get out there and fight. What happened to that priority? 2 Samuel 11, he stayed home. See? David's, in 1 Samuel 17, refused Saul's armor. His priority was God. God would take care of him. In 2 Samuel 11, he forgot all about God. So, there is a lot of similarity in our lessons is what I'm saying. Now, when it comes to this topic of right priorities, I want to state, first of all, that this is a topic which all of us have to deal with every day of our life. It's an absolutely ongoing, shall we say, challenge that every one of us have. We make choices, and that word priority really means making the best choices, what you put first, what's first and foremost in your life. And we constantly have to decide, you know, what's going to come first. We meet that challenge every day, don't we? You know, we get up in the morning, we say, what am I going to do today first? What's going to be my order of priorities? Because we obviously know we're not going to get everything done that we plan. So we kind of put certain things first, and the challenge is which comes first. And we face this every day of our lives. And I am sure that down through the ages, Christians have always faced these choices. You know, we're not any different. I am sure, my grandfather lived in a farm. And I always think, well, you know, he had a pretty simple life. He never left that farm. All the years he lived, that's where he stayed. I thought, boy, that really simplifies life a lot. Well, not really. He had choices he had to make every day, just like you and I do. There were certain things he had to decide which is going to come first, which isn't going to come first. However, I will add this point. That technology, we live in an age of great technological advancement. Technology has made it possible for us to do so many more things. And consequently, priorities become a must in our lives. An absolute must. I mean, it's not a question of, well, do I have priorities? Must I really decide what my priorities are? You are giving priorities to certain things in your life. Right now, you are. You might not recognize it, but you are. You have to. Because it would be impossible for you to do all the things that are at hand each day of your life. It's absolutely impossible for you to do. And so consequently, we see pictures like, you know, I see, for example, I'll use this as an example. I see a woman drive up to a parking spot at a supermarket. She gets out of that car. She runs, literally runs. You know, it's 4 o'clock. She's coming home from work. She literally runs into that shopping center. And she takes that cart and she's flying through those aisles. And next thing you know, she's on her cell phone, you know, and she's barking out some orders for the family back home. And she goes through that, And man, if she's got to wait in line, you know, in any way, well, you know, that's almost a calamity. And out she goes, runs out to that car and throws those bags in and takes off. Okay, she's trying to meet the priorities of her life, and it's quite a race. It's pretty wild. So I guess the first thing I want to say with our sessions here today is right priorities are a definite problem that we have to face today, and there's not one of us that doesn't have that problem. And we're aware of it. We know it's a situation today that's very pressing. And we know it's a situation today that the enemy can use to really mess up our lives. We can just start to put priority on certain things that we just don't have time for. And consequently, we start to put the priorities here. Something's got to go over here, doesn't it? And this is what happens. We start adding things here. We subtract something here. We've got to, because there's so many hours to the day, and that's it. Now, the question is, what we subtracted, what we added, was it the right thing? Now, in discussing this area then, since it is such a crucial area in our life, how really do we examine it? Because everybody's life, in a certain sense, is different. In some senses, it's the same, but yet in other ways, it's very different. We all have different jobs. We all have different places where we live. We all have different neighborhoods. We all have different family situations. We all have different responsibilities in the assembly. We all have, you know, everybody's life is quite different. So you can't just lay a pattern and say, okay, here should be your priorities. Because if we get too specific, it's going to vary with each individual. So, you know, for example, I know if some of the other brothers were giving these lessons today, and we have some very capable teachers here in our group, I know you would find their two lessons would be almost entirely different from my two lessons. They would approach it entirely differently. It's that kind of a topic. Yet, the general priorities that they would emphasize would have to be the same. Even though they would approach the subject differently, and we would use a different way of approaching it, yet our conclusions for what should be our general priorities would be the same. They have to be. Because there are priorities laid out for us in the scriptures. And if we're going to follow those patterns, they would end up being the same. Now, with that said, I want to show you the pattern that I'm going to follow. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 12. I'm going to actually use a parable that the Lord Jesus spoke to those around him, in which I think he is very specifically laying down some principles for priorities. It's really, the whole parable is based on priorities. And I think he gives us five very important principles regarding priorities. Now, specifics will differ with each individual, but we have the principles will be the same for each individual. And let's look at that parable, beginning in verse 16 of Luke chapter 12. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now as we read this parable, we notice this rich man made many choices based on the circumstances of his life. But he made the wrong choices. He had the wrong priorities. Let's look at them. First of all, in verse 17, he thought within himself. There was a failure here. He failed to ask God. God was not given priority in his life. You see, he only thought within himself. His motivation was wrong. He was not putting God into his life and making choices by consulting God. And this is our first danger in making priorities. We must seek God. And we must seek his approval. Second, let's go to verse 19. And I'm going to enlarge in each one of these. I just want to point out what the five principles are here, and then we'll enlarge on them. Secondly, in verse 19, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. All right, he failed again because of a wrong priority. He failed to understand the purpose of life, didn't he? He thought the purpose of life was to get out of life as much as you could that would be pleasing to yourself. Eat, drink, be merry. He had a wrong emphasis on life. Again, we're going to enlarge on this, but I think you can see his failure there, can't you? He didn't really understand his reason for being here in life. It wasn't to eat, drink, and be merry. Third, if you look at verse 20, God said to him, you fool. Well, that's just what we want to avoid, don't we? We don't want to get to the end of our life and find we've been fools. That we've wasted our whole life. That we've very foolishly thrown it away. And yet that's what this man did. He said, you fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Here's his third failure. Again, we see how wrong his priority was. He failed to understand the brevity of life. He thought he was here forever. And that's exactly what causes people in our society day after day to make wrong priorities. They think they're here forever. They don't consider the fact that their life could end tomorrow. It could end tonight. So often we don't consider this in our choices. Fourth point, if you go back to verse 18, he says, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I'll store all my crops and my goods. His great concern here in making a choice was, what am I going to do with all these goods? I can't possibly use them all right now. What am I going to do with them? Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll build more barns and I'll store them. Why didn't he give it away? Why didn't he give it to the thousands who were starving all around him? He failed to think of others, didn't he? And thus, he had some wrong priorities. He had a wrong attitude. He was selfish. That's what it was. He was selfish. A fifth point. Go up to verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. What was the source of all his blessing? I mean, what was it that made him have to make these other choices? Why God blessed him with a plentiful harvest. And yet, he failed to appreciate what God had done. He never considered what God had done. He only considered what he was doing. He didn't think about what God had done for him, but what he was doing for himself. All of these things caused him to have wrong priorities. And we want to consider each one of these five in the minutes, the time that's left in this session and in the next. Now, before we look at these five principles on priorities, I do think it's very, very important for me to caution you about something regarding priorities. And I want you to turn to Romans 12 for this. And then we'll look at these five principles that are given to us in the parable. But I do want to stress something here that I feel is very important when we examine a subject like priorities and making right choices, having right priorities. I want to read the first two verses of Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, not I command you, but I beseech you. By the mercies of God, not by the fear of God's wrath, but by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, there's several principles here that we need to understand when we talk about priorities. God does not want us, first of all, to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. So, the first principle that we want you to see as we discuss priorities is that by nature, living in this world in which you're living, you will be naturally conformed to the world. That would be your natural course. You'll do what the rest of the world does. That's just the way we are. And as you grow up, as the years are added to your life, you go to school, you will find that you start to conform yourself to what everybody else does there in school. And you get into your neighborhood, and you get to know your neighbors, and you'll start to do just exactly what your neighbors do. And you go to your workplace, and you'll find that you'll begin to do exactly what your fellow workers do. This is your natural course. That's why the word is used that God wants to transform us. That means change us. Make us something different so we don't make the choices of the world. We don't conform to the world. The world is going in a wrong course. The world is destroying itself by its choices. The world is opposed to God. It's in opposition to God. And it worsens as the years go by. I don't have to tell you that. You pick up the paper, you watch television, you know our society, our culture, this world in which we live gets worse and worse and worse. God does not want us to conform to this culture. He wants to transform us. So, in other words, He's taking us in a course in which we're going to make choices that are opposed to the world. They're going to be different from the world. They are not going to be the same. That's the first point we've got to get into our minds. If we're afraid of offending the world, if we're afraid of losing the approval of the world, if we want to be acceptable by everybody, we want to be popular and well-liked, we're going to make wrong choices. It's inevitable. We will make wrong choices. Okay. But God wants to transform us. He wants us to make right choices. Now, here's the second point that's most important. Why does God want us to do this? He's actually beseeching us. He is not saying you have to do it. But He's saying, I want you to do it. Why? So that you might know His good and acceptable and perfect will. If you make the right choices, you won't end your life as a fool, which the rich man did that we just read about. You're not going to end your life regretting the very life you lived. You're not going to wish you had it back again so you could live it over again. God wants you to make right choices so that your life is useful and is in conformity with His will so that He can use you to accomplish His will and make your life meaningful. But I want to put out a caution here. In your priorities in life, you want to be sure that you do not become legalistic and at the same time licentious. There's both extremes. We can very easily become legalistic about this whole subject of priorities when we say, well, now you can do this. That would be a good choice. You can't do that. That's a wrong choice. You may do this. That's a good choice. You can't do that. It's a wrong choice. And it soon becomes a very legalistic thing where we're obeying a bunch of rules and we don't know why we're doing it. And we're not sure why we're doing it, but yet we think that everybody ought to do it, and we become legalistic. Now, the problem with legalism, with law-keeping, is, first of all, there's an ABC to law-keeping. First of all, it usually produces anger. We're usually being forced into doing something and not understanding why we're doing it, and we get angry about it. I remember as a kid, when my parents would tell me, now, you can't do this. And they had certain rules. No, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do this. And I'm not saying parents shouldn't have rules. There needs to be some. But I know what my reaction was. I got angry. Many times. As I grew older and understood, and I realized they were right, my anger went away. But at the time, I got very angry. So what? Why can John do this and I can't? And many times I'd stamp my feet in anger because I couldn't do it. Now, it's important then that we make our choices because we know that God wants the best for us. And that when we make choices for God, they are the best. It's not so much because we must do them, but we want to do them. Because we know they're right. And we know they will result in making our life useful for God and will not throw it away like a fool. There's a B in law keeping and it's called boasting. A lot of people boast over their priorities. They become proud and boastful and they feel they're better than other people. This should not govern our choices either. We don't make choices so we can boast about them. And we're going to see that when we look at the five wrong choices that this fool made. The C of law keeping is, it often leads to criticism. We criticize other people because they don't make the choices we make. And we become a critical person. Priorities, our choosing right priorities should not bring about any of these things. Neither anger, nor boasting, nor criticism. They should be humble choices. Choices made because we know that God wants the best for us and we're doing it for God because God's way is the best way. And we want to help others to make the right choices and not be critical of them. Now, with that said, let's turn to the first wrong example of the first wrong choice that this fool made in Luke 12. He failed to seek God. He thought within himself, like the Pharisee who went to the temple and prayed within himself. That is, he didn't consult God. I want you to turn in connection with this to Colossians chapter 3. We have a very, very tremendous passage here. Remember, now we said priorities are choices. Priorities are putting first those things that we think are important and right in our life. Now notice what we have here in Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, and here's the words I want you to see. Seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. Can you see how that would affect your priorities? Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Notice verse 2. Set your mind. Here we have a mindset. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, one of the reasons we often make wrong choices, our priorities get messed up, is because literally we forget as Christians who we are. We literally forget who we are. We forget that we're not an earthly people to make gain, to make something of ourselves down here on earth. That's not anymore what we're here for. That's the thinking of the world. That's being conformed to the world. The worldly person wants to make something of himself and get out of this life what he can, because he only sees his life as one that's here on earth. But we have a life in heaven. We're a heavenly people. God has called us out of this earth to a better place. We're bound for a place that's far more important than this earth. This earth represents just a little, just a small span of our life. Eternity lies before us, which goes on forever and forever and forever. And God, when he saved us, has only temporarily left us here on earth. His purpose, his plans for us, are for us to be in heaven with him. He's going to take us there someday. His son, who died for us, is going to come and take us to heaven, and that's where we're going to spend eternity. And we will consider ourselves fools if we look back over our life and see that we expended all our energies on this earth. See, trying to, you know, do for ourselves here on earth, because that's going to seem like such a small part of our life when we're in eternity. And you see that this fool in Luke 12, he never considered anything outside of the fact that here he was, here on earth, with a pile of goods before him. He could not go beyond that. He did not see God. He did not see heaven. He did not see anything regarding his future life after death. That never entered into his thinking. For the Christian, this must enter into our thinking when we make choices. You know, we must think now, is the choice I'm about to make, is it a choice that's going to extend into eternity? Is it a choice that my Heavenly Father would want me to make? Is it a choice that will be pleasing to Him because this is where I belong? Just two other verses in connection with this point. If you'll turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. And I think this will further illustrate what we're trying to say. Philippians chapter 3, and I want to read the last four verses in Philippians 3, verses 18 to 21. Many walk, verse 18 of Philippians 3, many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end, now notice, he's talking about their end here, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. Now note this, who set their mind on earthly things. Just stop there for a minute. I want to read the last two verses, but just stop there for a minute and compare that with the verses we just read. We were told in Colossians 3, set your mind on things above. Have a mindset that's thinking of your eternal destiny, where you're going. Have a mindset as to where, whom you're trying to please. These people, verse 19 here in Philippians 3, they had a mindset on earthly things. They didn't consider the fact that God was in their life, that heaven was their destination. See, Their only thought was what they had here and now. And it is so easy for us to develop that kind of mindset. But it's a mindset that will definitely cause us to make wrong choices. Definitely cause us to make wrong choices. Let's go on and read the last two verses in chapter 3 of Philippians. Verse 20. For our citizenship is not in the United States. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So, the challenge here is that I have a citizenship that's far more important than my temporary citizenship. And I must consider this in my choices. I'm not living to try to make the United States a better place to live in. That's not my purpose in life. I am living for heaven. I am living to do what is pleasing to God. It may be many of the things that the choices God will have me make will not be popular with the citizens of the United States. But they will be approved by the citizens of heaven. And that's what I have to determine. Now, another verse we want you to notice in connection with this first point. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at the last two verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're expecting to have trouble down here on earth. God did not say when we became a Christian, we would have no trouble. So we don't make choices just to escape troubles. Right? Quite a point, isn't it? Because we often do, you know. Many of our choices are to escape trouble. No, we don't make choices to escape trouble. In fact, Jesus said to his disciples, in the world, you will have trouble. He told them that. You will have trouble. Why is that? Well, because the Lord didn't save us to give us a good time down here on earth. He saved us for heaven. And he's preparing us for eternity in heaven. And the troubles we go through here in this life enable us to enjoy heaven better. You realize that point? It's very important. Those who will enjoy heaven most are those who went through the most troubles here on earth. So that's hard for us to grasp at the present. But nevertheless, that's the whole point that's being made. Why? Because we don't look at the things which are seen. Which is so easy for us to do. They're temporal. That's what verse 18 is about. Those things we see are temporal. Don't go in for those. Don't make your choices for what's going to give you a temporary satisfaction. Those things which are seen, they're temporary. But the things which are not seen are those that are eternal. See? So this is what has to govern our choices. Let's just look at one more verse in relation to this first one, and then we'll move on to the second one. Hebrews chapter 11. I like this verse in relation to priorities. Right priorities, making choices. It says in chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith, by the way, you know, is a choice. When you put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you made a choice. When you put faith in God for your daily life, you're making a choice. Faith in itself is an act of choice. You're choosing God over your circumstances. You're choosing God over what might seem contrary by your temporal vision, by temporary things. You believe God that there is a future, there is a heaven. You believe God that there is a soul, there is a spirit that you can't see. You believe God for all these things. And these things then become important in your choices. Because you believe these things are so. Wrong choices often are the result of a lack of faith. We really don't believe what God has said. Therefore, may I conclude this first one, and we're going to look at the next four then in our next session. May I include this first one then? How do I then make a right choices? We're saying the rich man left God out. How then do I make right choices? By including God. How do I include God? By keeping in constant touch with His Word. There's the first principle. I cannot make right choices if I am not reading God's Word and meditating and thinking upon God's Word. I cannot make right choices. I will constantly make wrong choices if I am not going to the Word of God. If I'm not allowing the Word of God to guide and control in my life. So if I want to make right choices, if I want to have right priorities in my life, the first principle is daily consult the Word of God in your life. It's a must. It's essential if you're going to have right priorities. You can be sure that as soon as you don't do this, when you start to dismiss the Word of God, when you're not reading it daily in your life, be absolutely sure you're making wrong choices. You're going out there and you're making wrong choices. Now we're going to stop there and we're going to look at the other four wrong choices that this rich man made and apply them to our lives. Father, we pray that through your word you will teach us that you want us to make right choices for our life, and that we might, in simple faith, look to you so that we might make those right choices. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen.